It's another edition of the Shooting USA podcast from the Smith & Wesson booth at the NRA's annual meetings in Nashville, Tennessee this year. This time, my guests, Jim Scouten and Lou Danielson from Crimson Trace. Sorry, everybody. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Nice to have you. And Lou Danielson has been collecting awards in the past year. Just got one from the NRA, the Golden Bullseye Award as the Founder Award?
Pioneer Award.
I knew it's in there somewhere. As the man has described, who basically created the laser grip market entirely and then dominated it. So you are being recognized for completely changing personal protection over the years.
Well, I guess that's the truth. We never set out to do that. We just set out to have fun. And enjoy what we do. Make money, have fun.
Hey, that's a good combination, right?
Yeah.
And it was the grip activation that was the key patent that you guys have protected all these years that makes it different. If you take a proper grip with a Crimson Trace laser grip, and they're, by the way, they're on the wall over here because these are original equipment for Smith & Wesson if you choose to order one. If you take a proper grip, the laser is on, and you are in action instantly.
We call it instinctive activation. And that, you know, the whole premise behind it is under stress, you don't see your sights necessarily, and you get tunnel vision on what you're shooting at. So let's just put the sight where you're looking.
I'm convinced that when the adrenaline kicks in, your vision narrows down, and you don't see anything except the threat. And now Lou is here with the solution so that you can aim at that threat without having to try to find the sights.
Put the sight on the target.
Yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, and there's another benefit to it as well. And we've talked about this, and Crimson Trace has talked about this a number of times, and that is that laser on a potential threat gives that potential threat a real understanding about where that bullet is going to hit. And that, in some cases, might even mitigate the threat without the use of actual force.
Now, officially, you're not supposed to shine it in the perp's eyes, but you know you would in a threat situation.
You know, in a gunfight, in a fight, there's no rules, I guess.
Right.
You know, I just have to say, I'm here at the NRA show. This is my favorite show in the whole world. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is the last place where I get to hang out with all the guys I know that could be my brothers. And I see a lot of Harley Davidson shirts walking around here.
Oh, yeah.
Guns and motorcycles. I want to tell you one story about our product from the NRA show. A lady bought a gun from us. She was probably 75 years old and put it on a little J-frame revolver, Smith & Wesson J-frame revolver. And not more than 5 days later, she called us up because there was some perps outside her window in the bushes, and she shined the laser through the window onto those guys in the bushes, and phew, they were gone.
They were gone.
They went on to the next house, I guess, for something. Mission accomplished.
Right. I'll also point out that Lou notices Harley Davidson shirts because he has several, mostly of which you wrench on yourself
for
entertainment. And we have ridden together in Oregon. Right now, he's trying to decide if he has enough time to be here to come and ride on my two bikes because I've promised him our Tennessee back roads as a return favor.
Not to be missed, sir. Not to be missed. But, and the way the weather is right now.
You have also told me the story about riding your Harley and aiming at things on the side of the road with your J-frame and your laser grip. True?
True. I've been in this bit, I've been a gun guy for all my life, and I've never really been. Recently, I was trained at gunsight, but my whole life I was. But there's one thing I'm good at, and I'm as good as probably most anybody here at shooting from a moving motorcycle. It's just like shooting a shotgun. If you're a duck hunter, a lot of guys I trail the bird, and when I pass it, I squeeze. And when you're riding on a motorcycle, You're actually, because you're going the other direction, you lead it and swing through the target and squeeze.
Yeah.
I can tell you about
nothing I've ever done. Interesting, though. Lou, you grew this company out of the garage, if I remember correctly. I mean, this thing started as just a couple of guys and some technology, and now it's a huge entity.
That's close. It started in a tooling shop.
Okay.
And I had some young engineers and toolmakers, and we had a vision, and one line item said, we own other profit-making corporations. And it's kind of funny because I tell people I had an advantage because these people were young and they didn't know any better and they weren't very well educated and therefore they believed. And it's funny when you get a bunch of people together and they can believe. And we had some smart guys, they bailed because it didn't make any sense to have a big to-do list on the wall to start a company. My marketing guys get a little upset when I keep rubbing in that the name of the company, all our marketing, all our sales guys were machinists and engineers. We didn't have any marketing people, but
I knew those guys.
You know them, yeah.
And I remember your story about, and this is absolutely true, I think it was 93, you went to the SHOT Show, you had prototype grips. They weren't really very good yet, but they were there.
No.
It was a great concept. And check me if I'm telling it wrong, you didn't have enough money to get home unless you took deposits from dealers. And so you were taking deposits from dealers to buy your own way home to go make them.
That's pretty much the truth. We didn't have any money to start the company, and we were flat broke. We went there with these prototypes, and believe it or not, they're prototypes. We were taking cash, and we deliver them when we get them ready. Oh boy, the difference between building a prototype and bringing something to production. We sure learned about that, but we actually ended up with $10,000+ in cash off our little 10-foot booth, which was big money back then, and it got us going, and it got us some tooling built. And
now it's a multi-million dollar company, highly regarded as the best product of its type. That was 93. That's when we started the original gun show. Mm-hmm. So I remember you.
22 years. Fantastic.
22, yeah.
Talk about joining forces with some of the original manufacturers like Smith & Wesson to do releases right out of the box.
Well, I've had some, yes. And I think it really just boiled down to sitting down and talking to them. I remember in the day with Smith & Wesson that I sat down with the marketing director, who is my dear friend today, although he works for another company now. And we just sat across the table and talked it out. And in those days, it was, okay, let's do it. No confidential agreements, no contracts, no anything. We'll just communicate and pull it off. And we did. And so Smith & Wesson was our very first true OEM. We did a little bit with some other people. And I'll tell you what, lucky. People say I'm smart. I'm not that smart. I'm just lucky. And we were lucky, we supplied the military with a lot of product. Boy, that gave us some money, and we were able to boost the company with that. And out of the blue came an order one time from Singapore, and I don't know the world, Singapore. The thing that went through my mind was Shanghai. I didn't know where Singapore was, and secured letter of credit. I didn't know what was going on. And by gosh, we pulled it off. And that's another thing that gave us money to continue to grow the company for you guys.
Yeah, for the end user.
For the end users. And again, I just need to...
And what it is today.
Thank you.
I think everybody appreciates that.
Yeah, so. Fantastic stuff.
Lou Danielson, chairman of Crimson Trace. And a Harley rider.
Can't go wrong there. That's another edition in the can. More to come from the NRA's annual meetings in Nashville.